All right, and welcome back, folks, to another episode of On the D-Lo. That's me, the D-Lo. I got my goat shirt on. I wore this just for you. Anyways, I have my new friend Jeremy, and you have a nickname. Can you say your nickname? Because I can't figure it out.
Well, you're not talking about Jemiah, are you?
Jemiah. Yeah. Is that a Jesus thing? Is that where you got it from?
No, actually, I got it from. Well, back in 2000. Back in 2005, when I was starting my graphic design company, gosh, forever ago, I wanted a name that was something that what my name meant. So I took Jeremiah, took out the ERE, and went with Jemiah.
Oh.
So that was the name of the company. So when I got into fitness modeling and everything, that was the business cards that I would hand out. Then everybody started calling me Jemiah.
Got it. Jemiah. Like it. Do they still call you Jemiah?
Yeah, they do, actually.
Okay. Wow. So you are a producer, a speaker, a branding specialist, a nerd, according to your website.
Yes.
What else do you do?
Oh, my gosh. About anything I can get my hands into.
Are you still
fun.
Are you still modeling?
Fun. No. I grew up from that.
So when I look at your social media and I look at like back in the day, even 10 years ago, uh-huh. You were still doing fitness stuff. Yeah. So tell me, like, what was it that transversed you from like fitness to what you're doing now to, you know, kind of, or has it all been one and the same or just one life altogether?
So when I was in fitness, it was awesome. Then it kind of went into acting, and I was on several TV shows, you know, like MTV's Teen Wolf and Drop Dead Diva, things like that. And after so many years, and then I started doing a lot more commercials, and then I saw how good I got paid being the actor, and it made me go, I want to know what the directors and those jokers are getting paid. That's the work that I want to do.
Yeah.
And that made me, but my background was production, graphic design, like all that kind of stuff, and video production. And I just kind of made myself learn. Then I started speaking in schools because I was a youth minister back in 97 to 02,
okay.
03, something like that. And I was a co-host of this TV show called Rock House Cafe. And so I have such a wide life doing different things. I wanted to speak in schools, and so I got in there and I was talking about fitness and health and had to make it very culturally relevant for young people.
How old are you at this point?
When I got in, that was about 12 years ago, 47. I'll be 48 next month. So, gosh, 36.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I was doing that, and it was pretty awesome. And then I spoke at this Magnus school in Augusta, and the vice provost of Georgia Regents University was there. I had no idea. So I was speaking, and I had videos and all this stuff to. I had an alternate character called Coach Maya. And he sounded something like this, you know what I'm saying?
Is it weird when you're talking about yourself and you're going through all this stuff with all the stuff that you've done?
Yes, yeah. I'm trying to remember everything.
Yeah, that's all right.
So I created Coach Maya, and he. And I made videos with him, so he would talk about the boring stuff in the, you know, while I'm speaking in the school.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to do it.
Gotcha.
And so he had this big afro, these sunglasses, and mustache down. It was a mixture between, like, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, and my 7th grade PE teacher.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because they had Rydell shorts on.
Oh, God.
And everything. Like, it was a trip. But the stuff got standing ovation by the kids, and because of these people from the college were there, they came after me to commission me to help them with their video marketing and everything to get young people into that school.
That's really cool.
And it just got me back into video production and everything.
Okay. So where did you grow up as a kid?
Augusta, Georgia.
So you've been there this whole time?
Yeah.
And you literally just moved out here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I traveled a lot.
Yeah. For work and, or pleasure? Yeah.
Well, all. I mean, everything. Mostly work, but... And... So, yeah, I just moved out here.
You Southern boy. How did you enjoy Georgia growing up? I know I grew up in Georgia as a kid.
Yeah, that's right.
For like 11 years in Roswell.
Good old Roswell.
Good old Roswell, Georgia. But, I mean, Georgia was good back in the 80s and the early 90s, you know?
Yeah. Talking about University of Georgia. Herschel Walker played for him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But I mean, we had trees and woods, yeah, and we built forts and we played outside. And we waited for the dinner bell, everything, grass, all that stuff. Yeah. Did you play sports as a kid? Or?
I did. I played football and soccer.
Okay. So you were always kind of growing up with that athleticism, yeah, and all that stuff?
Pretty much.
And then where did you go to? Did you go to college?
Yes, I did. At first, I went to the college that I was just talking about, but it was called Augusta College back then.
Oh, wow.
And then I left there, and then I went to a Bible college and went there several years and graduated and with a major like in youth ministry and communications.
Yeah.
And then after that, that's when I became a youth minister.
No
for
kidding.
Several years, yeah.
So you were doing that. And then during that time, is that when you kind of sparked an interest to hone your skills on production and all that other stuff?
Yes, because we had to reach young people.
Yeah.
And so we had one of the largest youth ministries in the city, and we had to be culturally relevant. Like, mm-hmm, we decorated the place. Back then, you remember the 90s, we decorated like how Applebee's, remember the whole vintage look?
Oh, yeah.
The walls,
yeah,
that's how we decorated. And we had a band and all that kind of stuff, cool stage background. So we made it very, we wanted kids to come and think, wow, this is a church.
Yeah.
We didn't want to be churchy. We wanted to be effective.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not religious, so to speak.
Right, right.
And so, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. So I had learned marketing and things back then, you know, and the psychology of how to get people's attention and keep it, because you're dealing with young people. Teenagers, the attention span of a teenager is 12 minutes.
Yeah, it's like a flea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you got to stay on it. You got to keep their attention, and it's got to be good, because you'll lose. They'll go run off whenever, you know.
Yeah. Do you still keep track of people back from that day?
And, oh, yeah.
From what you did? Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. And is it hard being kind of away from that because you've been there your whole life and now you're kind of trying to find your way out here in Arizona?
Well, luckily nowadays we have, you know, social media and the internet and smartphones, yeah, and all that kind of stuff, so it's easy to kind of stay in touch with people. But there are times I have moments,
yeah,
like I miss home, I miss the green grass.
Right, right. Yeah, I know. Just all the simple things. There is grass up in Flagstaff.
Oh, there's some in Fountain Hills.
Yeah.
I drive through there, and I'm like, oh, I like this place.
Yeah, grass and fountains and all sorts of stuff. That's funny. What? How big of a role today does, like, spirituality and God and all that play in your life?
It still has it.
Yeah.
I've just never been a real religious rules,
yeah,
and regulation kind of person.
Gotcha.
But it's a big deal to me. Like, it really is. You know, but I'm not one that's like pushes it off on people.
Yeah, you just,
you know,
doing
I respect people for what they believe, who they are, you know. I do my thing, you do yours, you know. And as long as you respect people, they'll give respect back to you.
100%.
Yeah,
totally agree. Diddy over there, he's a big Jesus guy.
Oh, that's awesome,
yeah,
man.
He just, yeah, he's a minister or something like that.
I love Jesus.
He loves Jesus. Diddy's the best.
That's awesome.
Let's talk about, what was your first acting gig, and how did that come about?
The first one was a Georgia Lottery Keno commercial.
Yeah.
That's when I got Taft and Harley, yeah, from
really?
That one. Yeah, and I had to play a Chippendale.
Okay.
But it was an easy, I mean, it was a cool commercial. Like, the Keno lottery game, you know, the state lottery.
Yeah,
you know,
state lottery.
They had
Chippendales?
Yeah. Well, it was two ladies in, like, a bar or a restaurant or something, and they scratched the card, and then the dancers appeared behind them, so it was like a big party or whatever, and I was one of them. And then they kind of came back to reality.
How much does something like that pay?
The day rate was, I think, like $400-something, but when you get SAG, you know, it went on for several years. So I ended up getting close to like $20,000 just on that for working one day from 6 to 3.
Are you kidding me?
No, man, that's...
So the acting was good to you?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, but when you look at actors now and you see, like, look at Star Wars, for example.
Yeah.
Why actors want to do Star Wars so bad is because of the residuals.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, they're going to play that stuff on TV forever.
So what happens when AI comes out? They got need actors.
Exactly.
No, yeah, residuals needed to be,
yeah,
paid.
Well, that's why they were all on strike and everything,
yeah,
to,
yeah,
work out that kind of stuff. So there's going to be some kind of, you know, if you're going to use the features of somebody, they're going to have to get some kind of compensation out of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I like AI. I mean, I'm Adobe certified. I love using Photoshop and all that kind of stuff. And I use AI.
Yeah.
I use ChatGPT to help me on almost everything I write. You have to change it up or whatever, but it kind of helps you structure things and go from there.
So, yeah. So part of your demeanor is you're a branding specialist. So what is that process for you? Are you still doing that for people? And
I do, not as much as I did. I used to do more of a... like corporate branding. I'd help with their logos and I help with this, you know, get their social media set up and get all their website and all that kind of stuff set up. But as life went on and I grew, I couldn't do everything.
Right.
And so I'd start outsourcing things and stay focused on what I liked was video production and audio production.
Video, you hear that, Diddy? Video production, yeah. So you've been an entrepreneur pretty much your whole life, would you say?
I'm just a businessman.
What would you say, like, are some of your biggest successes and some of your biggest failures you could give?
Oh, I got a lot of failures, man.
Okay, but you're still here rocking.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of successes, too. There's a lot of – it just depends on what you mean by success, financially or reaching people, like
it's whatever,
helping people change
whatever
their
you
life.
Perceive it. Yeah, reaching people. I mean,
It's – one of the things that I thought was a big deal was when I would speak in schools and when I would leave that day and I would get tweets on Twitter, the kids quoting what I said, and I would always think they paid attention. Mm-hmm. Like they listened to me. And I always thought that was a big deal. You know, because we hear stuff and we forget it. You know, it goes one ear and out the other.
Right.
These kids would remember things. And even to this day, they'll tag me and stuff that I said years ago. And I'm like, so to me, that's a big deal because I went to Bible college. I went to be a speaker.
Yeah.
You know, and all that. And so that was, you know, important to me.
For sure.
You know, and like the TV commercial, things like that. Those are cool success, you know, because you do the job one day and you keep getting paid for it for several years, you know. I mean,
that's pretty cool.
You can't go wrong with
that.
Yeah,
you're probably still getting mailbox money,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's great. Well, we had breakfast on Saturday, I think it was, and we were talking a little bit, and I wanted you to share your story because I think it's important for a lot of people to know, like, just the I guess you can call it struggles or the way that you've had to readjust your life due to, you know, having diabetes.
Yeah.
So explain that a little bit and what you go through and how you figured it out. And I think this is really interesting for people to hear because I think this is more prevalent in people than people actually know, you know, because I would have never known if you hadn't have said anything. Like, I'm not looking at you like, oh, hey, you got diabetes, right? You know, but
he looks like he has diabetes.
Yeah, but you and you're not unhealthy and you've been a fitness model and you've been, you know, I mean, so kind of tell us a little bit about that and give us some insight.
Okay. I will say when I was a fitness model, it was kind of like I wanted to, when I got into fitness, all right, this was 20 years ago, and I would read the muscle fitness magazines and all that kind of stuff, and I try to learn to diet and all that, and there was nothing ever out there, like competition diets, things like that.
Yeah.
There was nothing for diabetics, and I was like, what in the world? And so I had to figure out. So I'd gotten coaches and stuff that helped me learn how to diet down and everything, but they did it certain ways. And I'm like, I have to have carbs. Like, I could die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it became a mission of mine to go against the grain and figure it out. And I figured it out. And it's a daily thing or whatever. But I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes in seventh grade.
Wow.
And the first year, my mom wouldn't let me have anything sweet, you know, because back then, I mean, it still is, like people say it today. Back then it was, oh, you can't have sugar. I'm like, oh, that's not true.
Yeah.
But you know, so I went to dietitians, diabetes educators, and I had to learn all this stuff, and I'm glad that I did. But after that first year, I learned how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to count carbs and how much insulin to take per so many carbs and have a ratio of scales, you know, like that. And just kind of stuck with that through the years. But I love sweets. I mean, I do. It's my vice, but I'm very balanced. I believe in portion control with everything, and I don't overdo anything.
Yeah.
Because too much of anything is going to cause problems one day. You can drink too much water in an hour and drown yourself. You know what I mean? So anything to the extreme is going to catch up to you eventually. So type 1 diabetes, I tell people that it's kind of a good analogy is the difference between driving an automatic and driving a stick. Okay, so when you eat carbohydrates, it goes into your bloodstream, it breaks down into glucose.
Okay,
so when the glucose is in your blood, that's your blood sugar, blood glucose levels. When it sends a signal to your brain saying there's sugar, there's glucose in the blood, we need some insulin. So the brain sends a signal to the pancreas and says, hey, we need to clean up on aisle 17, get over there, you know. and it produces insulin, goes into the bloodstream. And what insulin does, you have your cells, insulin gets into the bloodstream, and it's like a key that opens the cells up. So the glucose goes inside the cell and produces energy, mm-hmm. where we get sugar rush and everything from, okay? Okay. And so that's something that my doctor, when I was diagnosed, he's retired now, but he's an endocrinologist and he's a diabetes specialist, that he taught me that analogy, and it stuck with me all these years, and that's how I explain it. So usually, because my pancreas doesn't produce insulin, I have to make sure I manually put it in there. Mm. And you have to do the right amount. So that's why we have to count carbs that we eat,
right,
to know how much insulin to take. But you also have to keep in mind proteins and fats and things like that, because carbs, fats, and proteins together, you know, will cause your blood sugar to go up.
So are you counting every day, or do you just know at this part of your life you can eat this many potatoes and yet you have to
serving sizes and things. Now it's easy, you know. But read labels. I learned how to read labels in seventh grade, and that's, I think that's a big deal. Like, people need to learn how to read labels.
Oh, 100%.
You know, because that's your information, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's...
But haven't labels gotten a lot more confusing nowadays?
Gosh, man.
You know?
It's like all Greek or something. Nothing against Greek, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. And I mean, you see all these, like, fancy all these treats made up, and all these names.
Yeah.
And all these names.
And they making up new names.
Right. Yeah.
This is the new LG Waxham whatever. You know? And I'm like, what is that?
Right. So what happens if you're, what happens if you're having a bad day? What could happen to you?
I've had days where I was extra sensitive. Like, your insulin receptors, like, you can be, you've heard of insulin resistance.
Yeah.
Okay. Insulin resistance is when you take insulin or your body's producing insulin, but your insulin receptors aren't receiving it like they should.
Right.
Okay. And so your blood sugar can stay up and the insulin's not getting in there like it should. Okay. Sometimes you can be overly sensitive mm-hmm. to insulin, to where it absorbs and your blood sugar keeps dropping.
Oh boy.
So you have to manage it between, you don't want it to get too low and you don't want it to get too high. Just like anything, blood pressure, this, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Any kind of levels that you have in your body.
Right.
You have to keep them within a certain range. And when it gets too high, I mean, you have all, you're, if you get too high, you got to think sugar in your blood is, you know, gets kind of thick, you know, like syrup.
Yeah.
Not enough sugar, it's the opposite. And so you can get, and you can survive longer with it being high than you can being low.
Okay.
Like, and I've had instances where I've passed out, they had to call the ambulance or whatever several times.
So if it's low, like, that, I'm just kind of like, and not to downplay this, like, is that something where you go eat a cookie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And you keep emergency cookies on you, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Diddy just had a few cookies. Yeah. We got extra cookies here today.
Okay, actually. Awesome. Yeah. Yes. I got cookies, juice, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And so can you feel just with inside yourself, like, when you're getting there and you're like, okay, yes, I need to get some sugar in me?
You sure can. Gotcha. Unless you're active and have adrenaline going, because adrenaline numbs pain.
Right.
So you don't always feel, you know, because you're in a good, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So you don't always feel it under different circumstances, but most of the time you do.
Yeah.
Have you ever fasted and went a certain period of time where your glycogen gets low and you just kind of feel spaced out?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Loopy.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is, but a little bit more extreme.
Yeah, fasting. I did it for a period of years back when it was kind of the thing.
Yeah.
And now you don't even hear anybody talking about fasting. It's like, oh, how much money can we make? Look, I get it.
Yeah,
there's different things
for
different people that work at different times. Some people need to fast. I don't. I like to eat. You know?
Me too.
So that's that's interesting. And is there any medicines that you're on or any physical like apparatuses that you have to utilize or?
I'm on injections. I've been injection the whole 35 years.
You just inject yourself?
Yes.
Is it like a needle?
Yeah, syringe. You draw it up and
you put it in your butt or?
I put it in my stomach, my arms. You can put it in your butt and your quads.
What's your favorite place to put it?
My stomach or my arms, because it's easier and quicker. I can and go.
Yeah.
You know,
big
you have
needle,
pants on,
little
put
needle?
It in your leg. You have to, you know, it's too much work.
Yeah. Is it like a little needle or a big one?
Oh, yeah. It's
just
tiny,
a tiny,
tiny
one.
Yeah.
You just.
And it's like 31 gauge, so it's like barely anything.
Yeah. You have to do that every day?
Yes.
Okay.
I sure do. Yeah. I have to do it every time I eat, depending on what I eat.
Oh, my God.
Like, smaller amount of insulin if I don't have too many carbs or whatever.
Are there groups for people that have this type of diabetes that you guys all kind of get together on and talk? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of support groups and things, especially on like on Facebook and different social media things. You have people that are always, you know, encouraging, helping each other.
Yeah.
People have questions, wanting to learn, because you have these new people that had just been diagnosed and they haven't been educated on everything yet, so they're learning the hard way.
And what was attributable to your diagnosis? Because obviously you're a kid. You know, is it, I mean, hereditary?
I was in seventh grade, and I lost, like, 30 pounds. Mm. And, you know, being in seventh grade, you're a kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I got to a point, I would use the restroom all the time, because you wouldn't hold fluids, would just go right through you.
Right.
And after so long, I couldn't hold anything down. Like, I would just, you know, throw up or whatever, you know, and it was all in, you know, my kidneys or whatever. And so my mom took me to the doctor, and I almost fell asleep, you know, on the way that morning. I stayed out of school or whatever.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't let me go to sleep. She said, stay awake, stay awake. So when we got there, then it started hurting bad, like my back and everything. It was like, oh God, I'll never forget that junk. It was rough. So they rushed me to the PICU unit. And I had no idea what was going on. I just remember starting to black out, and I saw all these people on me doing all this stuff, you know. Mm. And I was sitting in a lobby.
Yeah.
And to go into ICU, they had put me down, because it was like emergency. And I was in there for several days. I couldn't have anything to drink.
Oh,
they had to, like,
God.
They had to, my blood sugar was like 900 and something.
As a kid.
Like, it was up there. And so that was the first time I had Diet Sprite.
Oh, wow.
And so to this day, if I drink a Sprite Zero, I remember
that moment.
Well, I remember when I was coming to, and they let me have it as a, like, you can have it. And I had anything but, like, ice chips, started to get water,
yeah,
you know, because they were trying to rehydrate me. And then they gave me a Diet Sprite, and I was like, what? And so I tasted it, and I remember that taste, that joy that I had.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's crazy.
You should get a Sprite sponsor from this.
You should, yeah. No, you should get a Sprite sponsor. Yeah. This is nuts.
I mean, to this day, when I taste it, I remember that moment.
That's
like, it's crazy how the brain works like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's the brain. I wonder how some people's brains work.
There are times. In 2019, I could say this. I had diabetes, and for like 10 years, I never had any complications.
Yeah.
Until I was in my early 20s. And one time it got low, and I didn't wake up.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And my wife at the time, you know, my daughter's mom, Wade, gosh, that's forever ago. She couldn't wake me up.
Oh, man.
And so she called my brother, which my brother now, he's a fire chief now, EMS, you know.
Yeah.
Back then he was a paramedic. And so he came over.
Well, thank God.
You know, yeah, for real. So he came over and had a Kool-Aid cooler, you know, putting it in my mouth and trying to do everything they could. And then I remember they put me in the ambulance, and I remember going to the emergency room, and I remember looking out the back windows, and I just teared up thinking, gosh, I failed. Because a lot of people think that it's a failure, but it just happens.
It just happens,
you know. But I had to learn that from experience. The last time it happened was 2019.
Mm.
And that was an experience. It's hard to tell this story because some people think you're crazy and lost your mind, but it's along the lines of like a near-death experience type thing.
No, I like it.
And it's one of those sensitive things that, you know, well, I'll just tell you. I remember waking up one morning. My blood sugar was like 187. You know, it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. I took some insulin, and I thought, I'm going to go lay down on the couch, had my iPad, and was going to read.
Yeah.
I'm going to read for a little bit, and then I'm going to get up, cook some breakfast, give my blood sugar time to come down. I dozed off, and I didn't wake up.
Okay.
And luckily, I was going to do trails with my brother that day, and they found me at the house, came in. They couldn't wake me up. They called the paramedics and everything. They came, and they couldn't revive me. Like, I was gone. I was out. Mm-hmm. I was in a coma, but I wasn't there. Like, I went somewhere else, and I won't ever forget it. I remember being, do you remember do you remember like old country stores that had the little porch that went around the whole
100%,
building? Yeah. You know, I was on something like that.
Yeah.
And I was at, I was in this little country town. It was an, it was on the corner of this intersection, but it was an intersection just had a blinking red light, you know, or whatever.
Right.
And across was one of those old school service stations where they'd come pump your gas for you.
Okay.
Okay. Old school.
Yeah.
And there was this, black Chevy Silverado, like a 1979, 1980 model, like pretty, like fully restored, everything. It was just beautiful because I used to want one of those trucks when I was in high school. I ended up getting a Mustang. But
yeah.
And I saw that truck and it grabbed my attention and I was like, whoa. And I'm across the street from it. Well, then from it was parked that way with the cab, you know, the bed right here, and this being come around from behind the cab and we locked eyes. I couldn't see a face. I just saw eyes and this cloak or something. I don't know. You could say it was kind of like how they make the Grim Reaper look, but yeah. It wasn't like fear. It wasn't, there was no sickle. There was nothing like that, but I knew exactly what it was. And I knew it was a spirit of death because as we locked eyes, it was a mutual respect kind of thing. Like it was, and these words, the words came up in from within me that said, if you let go, I'm here to escort you.
Ooh.
And I was like, well, at least it's conditional, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so I remember it was a, you know, we nodded. Like, it was like, you know, there was no conversation because I didn't meet death. There was no introduction. There was no, you know, it was just a, we locked eyes.
Telecommunication, yeah.
Yeah, and then I remember learning about dream interpretation, about symbols and things like that, because in this, this where I was, in the background, you know, like if you ever seen designs, people do collages with Photoshop and they do all these different things or whatever, it was kind of like that, but they're all landmarks of things that I'd seen in my life.
Okay.
Like it was all right there. And I'm in the middle of this little country.
It just got real.
Yeah, like yeah. It was, I seen buildings.
It's like your life flashing behind you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I remember looking at the vehicle going, because it grabbed my attention first. Well, in dream interpretation, vehicles are symbolic of your calling because they get you from point A to point B. And so, like, vehicles, boats, airplanes, whatever. And so my mind starts thinking, if that represents my calling, how the heck am I going to get in that thing? Because the spirit of death is on the driver's side. How am I going to get into that without meeting death? And so my mind started processing, and I went, and I thought to myself, okay, run passenger side, lock the doors, get over there, crank it up, and go. That's what my mind, and then everything went bright and began to be opaque where I could see the paramedics and everything.
Mm-hmm.
When I came to, I had a peanut butter sandwich and a glass of juice in my hand. Well, from their side of the story, they said they gave me a D50, which is an injection. They put 50 grams of carbohydrates in your blood. And they said I sat up, but I wasn't coherent. Like I was just like,
yeah,
not even there. They said, and they handed the stuff to me and they said, I just started just functioning. So my subconscious took over and was controlling my body while I was elsewhere.
Yeah.
So when I came to, I saw all this and I was like, and I knew immediately. And it was a humbling thing. It was very like, oh my gosh. And I didn't know how, I could not explain. I did not tell these people. No, I just kept it to myself,
yeah.
You know, but I knew that. And when I came to, they said, I heard them say, there he is. They saw my eyes light
up.
Yeah. And that's when they knew I was back. And so it was, and that was several hours that went by.
How long did it take you to, and this was 5 years ago. So how long did it really take you to kind of process this?
I knew everything afterwards. I knew all the details. And the wild thing is I haven't told the story to too many people.
Yeah.
Maybe a dozen.
Well, now a bunch of people are going to hear it.
Well, a nurse told me, she said, when your blood sugar is low like that, you have a lack of you have a lack of glucose to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when people's blood sugar gets low, it can cause brain damage.
Right.
Okay. That's why when your glycogen's low and you're fasting or whatever, you get that loopy feeling
because
you can't think. You're just like, ugh. I remember the very first time I did a low-carb diet back in 2005 or something. I remember going, golly.
Yeah.
I can't even be creative. And so that nurse said, the fact that you remember every single detail and know what every single detail means, she said, that was real.
Dude.
And I was like, which I knew it was real, but you know, sometimes you question yourself thinking, oh, I was just dreaming.
Yeah, you know? And you just weren't ready to go yet. You were just like, I'm not.
Because it was conditional.
Yeah,
if you let go, I'm here to escort you.
Yeah, you're like, I'm good.
And so that's been in the back of my mind. So anytime I get sick or have to deal with something, I'm like, okay, what I got to do? I got to fix this. I got to do this. Whatever.
Yeah, it's funny. It's that vehicle that you really wanted. You know what I'm saying? How things just come to you. And yeah, man, it's all about energy. Thanks for sharing that. That's really cool. Okay, well, why don't we lighten this up a little bit? You're here. You're now living with a good friend of mine. She was my trainer back in the day and still a very good friend. And she actually got me in shape for my first ever fitness competition when I think it was like 35, and now I'm 50. So a good 15 years ago. But God, I've known Karen probably 20 years now. And you two have combined forces, and now you guys are doing corporate wellness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me just a little bit about that and what's going on and what your guys' future is.
She's a teammate. Like we amazing. Work well together. Yeah. We have the same personality, which I
talk the same.
Yeah. We have the same accent. and I've always told her, I said, our personalities are so much alike. Like we should be clashing left and right, you know. But we work well, like we respect one another kind of thing. We always have worked well, you know, business and everything, and just respected one and honored each other like that. One of her clients was competing, and I went to that show, and I met that client's husband, and we got into conversation and everything, and they owned the company that we have the contract, and they said, they needed somebody to help them. They wanted their employees to have more confidence.
Yeah.
Because the owner of the company, he lost 100 pounds, you know, getting in shape and everything. So it transformed his whole being.
Right.
So he was like, I want my employees to have more confidence in their work. And they have it's between 200 and 300 locally. I think 700, 800 something globally or whatever. And so we do online stuff and everything, and the people, you know, here are there. So we go on site 3 days a week, and we train them. We work with them. I'm there certain days. She's there other days. And it's already, like I trained a boy yesterday, this kid, he's 26 years old, and he'd never been active in his adult life at all.
Yeah.
And he said, I just want to take care of myself. I'm like, good job, man. He's 26, wanting to do it now.
You know? You had texted me that. I mean, and again, it goes back to serving others. You know? Yeah.
I mean, we're here to serve people. I mean, that's what it's all about, really.
100%.
Because you can't be selfish. You have to take care of yourself. Don't get me wrong. But the balance between, are we doing everything for ourselves, or are we doing to really help somebody else? Because when it comes, any billionaire, any some successful person in life, when they get to the point of where they just have too much money, they'll tell you the joy comes in helping others.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Unless they're sociopaths and they're in our government. Yeah. No, that's cool. Well, I'm excited to follow your guys' journey there and watch you grow that business. All right, I got some rapid fire questions for you. You ready?
Oh goodness, okay.
All right. Behind the camera or in front of it?
Either. But I like both.
Okay.
I do like both.
Yeah, there's no wrong answers in these.
I guess when I'm in front of the camera, like my personality comes out.
Yeah.
When I'm behind the camera, my artistic mind is like thinking.
Yeah.
You know.
That's great.
My creative mind.
Not a lot of people have that gift, you know? They're either one or the other.
Yeah.
I behind the camera, forget about it. I'm an idiot, you know? In front, all about it. Pizza or pasta?
Pizza.
Okay. 4 a.m. or 4 p.m.?
I do like pasta, too, though. Just not a lot.
Well, you can like whatever you want.
I mean, I'm just saying.
You can say both. How about pasta on your pizza, you know? 4 a.m. or 1 or 11 p.m.?
I've been both, but I would say 4 a.m. now.
Yeah, because you're old.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, goodness gracious alive.
read a book or Netflix?
Read a book.
Okay.
But I do like Netflix.
Okay, this is, I'm just going to say, you know, both. Okay, one-on-one or be in a crowd?
Us both too, man.
Yeah, okay.
Because, you know, it has your benefits being one-on-one, and then you have other benefits being in front of a crowd, because I've done both.
This is the Silver Lining Podcast, brought to you by, all right, Doritos or Cheetos?
Oh, man, these are some hard ones. I would say Doritos.
All right.
But I like Cheetos. I like them with peanut butter, too.
I don't think I've ever had this happen. I'm 114 episodes into this, and I got Mr. Dorito Cheeto head here. Ghost or birds?
Like ghost as in, like, Ghostbusters ghost?
Yeah, whatever ghost you want, dude. It's...
That would be cool. I mean,
yeah,
oh, you like I did watch Ghostbusters was on last night.
Okay,
so I was like, oh, and it was the funny one with all the women and Chris Hemsworth and everything.
Yeah, yeah. So, ghosts or birds?
Birds.
You like birds?
Yeah, birds are cool.
Okay, so ghost and birds.
I would go with ghost, but
how about a
birds
ghost
are
bird?
Real. I mean, ghost.
What if a bird was a ghost?
A ghostly bird.
What
a phoenix.
Okay, what if those eyes was a bird directing you into the car that was a ghost?
I would have been like, bird. I would have shot the bird.
Yeah. That's, oh, yeah, middle finger. It's good. All right, tight soccer shorts or a bandana?
Oh, my gosh. I wore tight soccer shorts when I competed.
I know. I saw your modeling picture.
Oh, no, what?
Yeah.
Is my face red? Mm-hmm. What was the other one? Bandana?
Yeah, which one?
I mean, it depends on what for. Tight socks.
Both?
Shorts.
How about you wear your tight socks shorts with your bandana?
With the bandana.
Yeah. All right, there we go. And then I got two more. This is,
you can bring as many as you want, man.
Rat,
it's fun.
Rat or poison?
Rat, like as in a rat?
No, the band.
Oh, rap?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
No, rat, like round and round. The rock band.
Oh, that one.
Yeah,
okay.
That rat.
Or poison.
Or poison.
I would say poison.
Yeah, not rat poison.
Yeah, I remember poison more than I remember rat.
Okay, good. All right, we have a decision.
And if you said rap, I would be all, because I love hip hop more.
Oh,
than
you're
I
a big
like.
Hip hop guy.
Yeah. Gotcha. I mean, I like all genres of music. I like music that moves me.
You like Tupac?
It has to move me emotionally. Some stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if it moves me emotionally, then that's, I mean, whatever it is.
All right, last one. Dance or sing?
Sing. Even though I had a dance agent when I got the Chippendale job. I had to do that. But I have more singing in my background than I do dancing.
I'm dying here. I would like to dance while I sing to the Lord, while I'm singing to the Lord. That's awesome. All right, where can people find you online and all that? I'll put it in show notes. Is there anything you want to promote while you're here?
Goodness gracious, what do I want to promote?
These are things you think about before you get on a podcast.
Yeah.
I can promote it all for you. How's that?
Okay.
He does have a website. It's www.jmiah.com.
Yes, and my socials are at jmiah online.
Yeah.
All of them.
You got all that good stuff.
Yeah.
They are doing corporate, you know, wellness. So if anybody has an interest in that, reach out to me. We can certainly promote that. Dude, this was fun. Thanks for coming.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
we got deep. We got funny. We got, you know, all sorts of good stuff. Thank you, everybody, for listening to On the D-Lo. Please, you know, look down in the links, support some of those sponsors that we have there in those links. Give us a 5-star if you can. Share it. And, you know, until next time, have a good one. Peace out.